We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Going to hear Mitch Trubisky express some surprise over the Steelers drafting Kenny Pickett. He said he didn't get a heads up. That's coming up in a few minutes. Fan Hotline presented by Nemacolin. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real life magic for guests. Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette covering Steelers OTAs. Ray, what do you take from Hayward's comments on Tuitt and him missing practice today?
Well, Andrew, I mean, Cam is the team captain, and I take every word that he says, like he means it. You know, he's not one to BS a lot, and if he thinks Stephon Tuitt is going to be here, you know, what did he say, at one point or another, then I believe him. What I did sort of read into those comments was, I don't think it's going to be in OTAs, right? I mean, the next time he has to be here is for mandatory minicamp on June 14th. So that's kind of when I expect to see Stephon. But since we haven't really had any light shed on the subject, you know, for 9 or 10 months now, I think what Cam said today is certainly newsworthy and noteworthy, and I think it should give Steelers fans some confidence that, the defense can be a little bit better next year.
Is Cam's level of trust that he and the organization, the coaching staff, the front office have in each other such that he wouldn't say this unless he had sort of tacitly run it by them, Ray? Does that process even exist, or do they just trust him to say what they think is the right thing?
Yeah, no, I think they trust Cam. Now, I will tell you, Cam talked every week during the season last year. I think Cam was always on Thursday mornings. And we asked about Tuitt, if not every week, every couple of weeks.
Yep.
And he was always evasive about it. He never wanted to answer. So the fact that he would answer now, and, it took him a little bit to warm up. I think Joe Rutter asked him the first question, and, it wasn't short, but it wasn't a long answer. Then I asked him about it. And finally, Jim Wexel phrased his question in such a way that Cam sort of opened up about it, and he finally relented and, gave us a good answer. So, like I said, yeah, he's confident that he'll be back. I think at this point, what we know, I think that's a good sign for the Steelers.
Ray, if you were the new GM, would that be enough for you to plug Tuitt in as the starter and not want to do something between now and training camp to bolster the position?
Yeah, I've said this all along, Andrew. If they wanted to cut Stephon Tuitt for salary cap purposes or because they didn't believe he was the player that he once was, they would have done that, March 14th or whatever day the start of the new league year was. The fact that they've kept him all this time suggests to me that they believe they're going to be a better team with him, and that for whatever reason in March and April and now even in May, Tuitt is still going through some stuff that he has to sort through, before he actually reports. I feel like I wasn't doing my job for not knowing this, but did you guys know that Tuitt's family has always resided in Indianapolis? And I guess Tuitt had a house here, but it was really just him. I mean, for all these years that he's been here, his family has lived in Indy. I didn't know that, so I guess that sort of explains some of this as well. His family isn't here. He doesn't have to be here until the middle of June, so maybe you know, maybe that's part of this equation as well.
Cam cited something, said his knee wasn't right last year, Tuitt's, that is. What was your understanding of how bad it was for him health-wise while, you know, all this other stuff was going on, obviously, yeah, with the tragedy surrounding his brother's death?
No, he had the minor knee surgery, I think, right before the season started or right after. He was put on PUP, and he could have returned in 6 weeks. So the knee wasn't the issue, you know, for the first 6 weeks of the season. For the subsequent, you know, games, October, November, December, January, it was all about him grieving the loss of his brother. And, you know, that was the reason that he stayed out.
So it was like a knee clean-out procedure. It wasn't like a major thing, because I don't – correct me if I'm wrong, yeah, Ray. They never, like, specified that it was some major repair of a torn this or that.
Yeah, no, it was a minor procedure. Obviously, when you have that right before the season, you have to go on PUP.
Yep.
And then I think after PUP, they placed him on IR, which allowed them to pay him his full salary for the 2021 season. If he had remained – I don't know what the actual term is, but if he had remained on PUP or one of those other lists, they wouldn't have been responsible for that, you know, that full salary. So,
yep.
I don't want to say the Steelers did him a favor, but they do what they always do. They did it with Shazier. They're, you know, when someone's going through a tough time, they stick with them and they pay them their full salary.
Ray, I don't want you to get in trouble with the Steelers, so I'm going to word what I'm going to ask you next in a very specific way. There's a Steeler that's going into the last year of his contract who blew off a camp for kids over the weekend, and there were no video or pictures of this player at practice today. There is a former Steelers media relations employee who was saying that when a guy is in his first contract, he should be at OTAs, the voluntary portion, which makes me think if he worked for the Steelers and thinks that way, there's probably more important people for the Steelers who think that exact way.
You know, I think Deontay Johnson is enough of a vet now that he probably doesn't have to be here. But I'll tell you, I was a little bit surprised that theoretically he wasn't there today, just because, you know, he's got new quarterbacks. And he had such a great rapport with Ben Roethlisberger that you would think that he would want to, you know, get off on the right foot and, you know, establish those relationships as early as he could. We also know that he was not part of that Trubisky get-together in Florida either.
Yep.
So, you know, Deontay hasn't been a guy who's been, like, a problem for the Steelers. He's always been a good teammate. We all know his contract's out there. We all know how agents are. We all know how receivers' contracts have been contentious. So, I can't predict the future, but I don't think Deontay Johnson is a bad apple. And if I had to choose between one or the other, Tuitt or Johnson, I think Johnson is more likely to show up at one of these OTAs than Tuitt is.
Do you think the Steelers are surprised that he wasn't there today? Like, you mentioned you were a little bit surprised, but, like, do you think the team was caught off guard at all?
I'm sure that's communicated to them beforehand. I'm sure those – you know, that conversation is had at some point. And listen, there's no leverage on the part of the team to make any of these guys come. It's written into the CBA. I can remember when the Steelers were a veteran-laden team, you know, Paul Amalu was never at these things.
Yep.
Ben's presence was not always, you know, it was maybe 25-40%, you know, that he was there. So, it's different now. I think a lot of that has to do with the leadership of Cam Hayward and Tyson Alualu. And, you know, Watt was there today. I talked to him. So, I mean, you know, when your senior leaders are there and they're present, I think that sends a message to the other guys. And, I think for whatever reason, there's been better participation the last couple of years. And, you know, this year, certainly the first day was no different.
Ray Fittipaldo, Steelers Insider, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Thank you, Ray.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We react to the Steelers' opening quarterback depth chart next hour. Everyone was there at voluntary workouts, as you would expect with an open competition for the job. Mitch Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, Kenny Pickett. Two of the three talked, Trubisky and Rudolph. How does Trubisky feel about the Steelers drafting Pickett? How does Rudolph feel about the Steelers signing Trubisky and drafting Pickett? Here is Mitch Trubisky with 4 of our reporters today. Can we make it 5 tomorrow? Can we send Donnie over there?
You think Donnie gets the best answers of anybody? They just sense the innate footballness of him.
What if we sent Donnie over there and he just asked exclusively Wings questions?
What if he buttered up Tomlin with, like, Mike, garlic parm or mild buffalo?
Mike, there was a report that you had wings with Malik Willis. What flavor?
Mike, what did Malik's wing flavor choices tell you about him as a potential franchise quarterback? Did you think he got too fancy with his choices? Was he too bare bones?
Donnie's bouncing around the locker room asking offensive linemen about
just
the
runs up
wings.
To Harris. Dry rubs, yes or no?
Here's Trubisky.
How's your comfort level with the offense?
Yeah, I feel very comfortable. I think the staff and the guys around have just done a great job being in the books, studying, picking up really quickly. I feel very comfortable with it. We've kind of installed through everything, and then we're going to go through and find out what fits us as an offense, me specifically, and then the rest of the quarterback room. So we're just having those ongoing conversations. But it's been a good installation period, and I'm really enjoying the offense so far.
Is there a tell there in that answer?
Which part?
We're going to put an offense together first with what I do specifically, and then the rest of the guys. He said me specifically, and then the other quarterbacks.
Like he thinks he's the man, and he's been told?
Like the playbook, we're going to cater it. We're going to pick out plays for me first. And then Canada's going to make sure that there's some plays in there.
Or is that just like a confident, like I'm just taking ownership of this, I'm trying to lift my leg and mark my territory here, you know what I mean?
He could have easily just said, yeah, Canada's going to make sure that there's stuff in there that we all like to do.
Didn't Mason Rudolph, like, months ago say, I can't wait to just become a blank canvas for this Matt Canada offense?
I'm going to completely surrender to this thing. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to wave that white flag for Matt. No. I just think Trubisky believes he's the starter. He was the number one quarterback in reps today. And I think in that answer, there's another clue that he thinks he's going to get the first stab at the job and he's not going to give it back.
He has to know, though, as confident as he might be, that he's going to have to play at like an all-pro level and the team will have to be playing well record-wise for him to keep that gig. He has to.
So it's like a changing. So to start, reporters say Pickett needs to be much better. And then once the season starts, Trubisky can't just be okay. He needs to be great. It flips.
I just think that the natural temptation is going to be, unless Trubisky's setting the world on fire,
to want to get Pickett in there.
Yeah, don't you think? That's human
nature. If they don't start Pickett in week 1, yes, I do agree with that.
Are you surprised they took Kenny with the first pick?
I really wasn't surprised. We need to add to the quarterback room, and that's what we did. So we're happy to have him, and I'm looking forward to working with him.
When you signed that they might or they would draft the quarterback, was that ever discussed?
They didn't. I knew coming into the situation, just even coming from here from last year, wherever I was going to go, I was going to have to come in, compete, earn the trust of my teammate, get back onto the field, hard work and my talent, and just being a leader on this team. We didn't have those conversations, but I knew it was a possibility coming wherever I would go next.
All right, what do you make of that? They didn't give him a heads up. Supposedly, allegedly.
What I make of them not giving him a heads up is because of, like, what he was paid suggests to me that they owed him no such assurances, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how I connect that. Because obviously, I think that is meant to be, for some people, this, oh my God, they didn't tell him. They're paying him backup quarterback money. If they had guaranteed him, say, $75, $80 million on a very Mitch-friendly deal, then up and drafted Pickett, I'd be scratching my head too. But I would have already been doing that, like, once we knew his contract details. The minute we found out he was not making primo money at all, mm-hmm. that he was making backup money, any, like, idea that it would be an item, whether they did or didn't give him assurances or that they would draft a quarterback or not, became irrelevant. Because Mitch is not dumb. His agent shouldn't be dumb. Your contract dictates what they think of you and how they might act around you at the position. Don't you agree with that?
He said there that he expected competition regardless of where he signed, that no team was going to sign him and just say, you're our number one guy, no questions asked, no competition, we believe in you that much. And I think he probably felt like he didn't even have to ask or demand that they give an answer to him about their draft plans, because his agents are plugged in. What were people saying about the quarterbacks in this draft? They're not that good.
Mm-hmm.
So as a former number two overall pick, he's a guy that started a lot of games thinking, all right, even if they draft somebody, what difference is it going to make? I'll be better than the guy. They won't. They pick 20th. Unless they trade up into the top 10, they're not going to feel so strongly about any of these guys that it's going to unseat me or knock me off my perch.
Yeah, that's different, though. So what you're describing there, like the calculus that he and his agents would go through, is different than saying they told me they wouldn't draft one. It's very clearly saying I'll be better than whoever they pick. Which is, by the way, to be fair, what we kept hearing tons of insiders say around the league. They'd take Mitch over anybody in this year's class.
How do you describe the dynamics of the quarterback room right now?
It's good. We got two young guys and two vets. There's a lot of ongoing conversations. We're all learning the offense kind of for the first time together, pushing each other, competing, and it's been a good quarterback room so far.
How would you handle that room if you're Oladokun? Like, you're just the dude that the general man, the outgoing GM, it sounds like, picked.
Yeah.
As like a farewell pick because he just, you know, he was given basically dispensation to do so. Is he really in that quarterback room as the seventh rounder going, boys, hold on. I figured something out in this install.
No, I don't think so. I think he's basically somebody that just is hoping he does enough that he catches on
as
a third string
guy. Is he bringing coffee to those guys?
Yeah, probably.
If you're Oladokun, is that your move?
Well, there's two rookies, so I bet they have to do that for... I bet Pickett has to get in on that, too.
Do you think Oladokun, because he's not a first-round pick, gets crappier quality coffee than Pickett?
Cheaper?
Yeah, Pickett's getting the really expensive stuff.
I think Trubisky's relationship would be different with Pickett than it would be with Rudolph. I think with Rudolph, I would look at the guy like, okay, he's been here a long time. I'm going to compete with him. I don't have to give him any... We don't have to have any kind of hunky-dory relationship. But I think Trubisky has to be careful with Pickett because... If Pickett beats him out, he then turns into the mentor figure in the relationship.
I think he looks at Rudolph as easy pickings. I would agree about the Pickett relationship. I think he looks at Mason Rudolph as like, this will be a nice, easy warm-up, fending this guy off.
Really enjoying it.
Dinner with Ben, and what did that mean to you to get together with
him? It was good. Ben and his whole family was awesome. They reached out to us, really welcomed me and my wife here to the city, and now my baby boy who's here with us. We're just excited to be here. It was just so nice of him to open his house and have dinner with him and just have those conversations and get to know him. Everything he's done here has been obviously amazing for the franchise, and just for him to allow me to get to know him, pick his brain, and talk about what it means to be the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, it really meant a lot to me. I'll just have a continuing, ongoing relationship with him, but it was cool.
Thanks. It's just wild that Ben treats Pickett and Trubisky so much different than he does Rudolph. He never did that for Rudolph. You think he invited Mason and all of his family members over to his house for dinner? Hell no.
Yeah, when he was being fumigated or something.
He gave him the wrong address.
Yeah, wrong address. Right.
It just reinforces the fact that he never liked the guy and had no relationship with him the entire time. When you hear what other quarterbacks, whether it's Josh Dobbs or Gradkowski or Batch or Trubisky or Pickett, about it.
It's also like comical that a guy that accomplished would be
a grudge.
Well, just would be that petty. He basically acted like a child.
Do you think people are looking at you as you're the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers? And
hopefully they just get to know me as Mitch Trubisky, and we'll take it one day at a time. And hopefully as this thing goes, they'll get to know me and my family, what I'm all about, as it goes with our regards to the relationship in the community and the work we do. And then you have the part where it's on the field as well. So hopefully it's a great, long relationship.
Kind of avoid being overwhelmed by the daunting task of replacing a guy who's been on the base for so long.
Well, one, you're not going to replace a Hall of Famer. You got to come in and be yourself. I'm just trying to be me. But you also have that huge respect for the people that came before you. And I have the ultimate respect for Ben and what he's done here. Obviously, Hall of Famer, two Super Bowls. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to continue the legacy, win another Super Bowl, and just continue to get better and build every day.
Learned from 2017 that you can apply to here.
Yeah, I think everywhere I've been, Chicago, Buffalo, and now Pittsburgh, I just take all my experiences with me. And it's kind of made me into who I am. And I played a lot of ball. I've been around teams. I've seen a lot of defenses and organizations, so I kind of know how this thing runs, and that helps me helping the young guys too, having the conversation with the young receivers, young quarterbacks, and everybody, just to get to know your teammates, how important it is to be here for OTAs and meshing, coming together, building that team kind of chemistry, and also being a leader. I know if I just come in here, be myself, continue to work hard, and be a leader for this team, it could be a really great thing, so that's what I'm trying to do. And
there's a lot to take away from working with Josh Allen.
Yeah, I mean, I learned so much from Josh. I think just being in the year with him, I saw what it was like when everybody just let the quarterback play his game, let him go out there, play free, and trust his instincts, trust his reads. You're playing football. You're not thinking. You're going out there reacting. And it was really fun to be around him. And I feel like being around him, I got back to more of who I was, how I wanted to play football, using my instincts, whether it's running, throwing, going through my reads. I feel like being around him in Buffalo, I learned how to process a lot quicker just within the offense and knowing where I wanted to go with the football pre-snap and post-snap. So I feel like I learned a lot, and I'm ready to apply it this year.
Man, I tell you what. The Steelers and Trubisky sound like they're a match because Canada felt like he got handcuffed by Ben, and Trubisky is sounding like he got handcuffed by the Bears. Like, oh, this is, I learned what it was like when they didn't put
restrictions on a guy.
They didn't put their quarterback in a box in Buffalo. They let Josh Allen just play.
Hold on.
I need to just be myself, which is the same thing Tomlin said about the quarterback competition.
I can't let
Trubisky
this go any
further.
Trubisky
was never allowed to be Trubisky in Chicago.
I can't
what
let
the
this go any further. I can't let this go 1 second further. Buddy, Mitch, saying that you watched Josh Allen get to be himself in Buffalo does not mean that you will have the same results getting to be yourself. When you are comparing yourself to maybe, pound for pound, the most physically gifted quarterback playing football right now.
Yeah, but I think the Steelers sold him on that, and I think he believes it. Or he sold the Steelers on that about himself.
Yeah, I mean, if he sold the Steelers on that about himself, I don't love that, because that's a guy that hasn't had a ton of success just saying, trust me, this time it'll be different. I get the best, most charitable way to look at what we just heard is to just say they're going to have him in an offense that caters fully to his strengths and like allows him mentally to play free and easy and not worry, like look over his shoulder.
Yep.
That's different, though, than like, dude, you can't just play quarterback willy-nilly like Brett Favre would. That's how you end up throwing 300 interceptions in a career.
Do you feel like Matt Canada's offense allows you to be free?
I think it does. We got a lot of good stuff going on right now. Right now, we're just in the installation period trying to learn it and master it at this point. But it's been a lot of fun. And the conversations I've had with Coach and he has with all the guys on offense is we're going to play to our strengths. So once we get to know each other, we find out what those strengths are. That's where this offense will go.
I honestly think among the quarterbacks on the roster, though, it's the hardest to make the argument that the Canada offense is for Trubisky among the three guys.
Why?
Because Pickett got recruited by Canada, okay. So there's the connection there. How much did that factor
into
the
Steelers
draft? Canada
recruits the player thinking he can run my offense.
Mason Rudolph, you know, apparently has a good relationship with Canada.
Because they both hated Ben.
He had him throw it 50 times against Detroit in bad weather. He called the plays in Week 17 a couple of years ago when Rudolph was the starter and Ben was resting before the playoffs and played decently. Mm-hmm. Rudolph has done nothing but kiss Canada's rear end every time he gets a chance to talk.
Yeah.
So there's a Canada rapport there with two out of the three quarterbacks. There isn't with Trubisky.
Yeah, I think Trubisky and Pickett are clearly suited to run the offense. I think it's about physical tools. I think the guy who doesn't seem like a match with the offense, doesn't seem like a natural fit, is Rudolph.
Well, let's hear a little bit of mediocre Mason Mulsey.
How are you approaching this versus all the other ones you've done?
I'm more excited. In the last 4 years, you knew there was a Hall of Fame quarterback in front of you, and you were developing,
and getting
better
a jerk.
At your position and doing everything you can to be ready in case your number was called. But obviously, it's a little bit more realistic this year that it will be called. The added excitement.
I think that that is such a BS excuse. Dude, he got injured in your second year. If you really balled out in the preseason or at any point where you went in, they would have found a way to get rid of Ben. They would have been able to convince Art Rooney last year, look, Ben's got 1 year left on his contract, but it's time to go to Mason.
1 year too early versus 1 year too late.
Yeah.
I don't think Mason deserves any favors from anybody, but it is different than any other OTAs he's ever entered. Like, he's not lying there. Because Ben was always
the man. Yeah, but now instead of just a 38 or 39-year-old quarterback to beat out for the job, he's got a first-round pick.
Listen, oh, come on. You're reading too much into it. He's excited for this OTA and this year because he doesn't have to deal with Ben. He might not beat out these guys, but he hated Ben's guts and still does.
Mason, there's a point in the offseason where you were number one on the depth chart.
Just because that's probably the only quarterback on the roster.
Yeah. At the same time, what's been your view of what's happened since then?
I think each year I've been here, there's been competition. There's been guys. I mean, you look back, the other day, and a lot of guys, quarterbacks that have filtered through here. So I think with the opportunity to play this year, everyone's going to be competing and trying to put their best foot forward. But I'm approaching it like I have the same mindset I had the last 4 years. Every single day, every single rep I get, I'm trying to make the most of it. And,
he already just contradicted himself. He said, I'm approaching it with the same mindset. Clearly he's not, because he said before it was different knowing that Roethlisberger was ahead of him and was a Hall of Famer. I mean,
I'm going to let that part go because he responded to I was number one on the depth chart because I was the only quarterback.
Rudolph is one of these word salad guys. Trubisky, he doesn't say much, but he is confident and poised when he talks. Kenny's the same way.
Pickett's on message.
Rudolph just never feels comfortable when he's talking, man.
You know what he has about him? He has this idea. I hear this idea in his mind when he speaks. Like, he constantly is searching for the right combination of words that people are going to like to hear. And so he just sort of keeps talking, and there's no natural endpoint to it.
Get better. What's your best foot forward? There's some things with the offense that have changed post-Ben, and we're trying to just get up to speed and see what we like, see what concepts we prefer over others. I think leadership, perspective, I think it's, able to step up a little bit more this year, kind of be vocal. And we are a young offense, and there's a lot of young guys that need to step up and that have stepped up, from the leadership.
All right. I've had enough of him. I'm ready to just... I can't listen anymore.
You're done?
I am with him for now. Maybe for good.
What did you think of the, it's because I was the only quarterback on the roster line? You've got to give him like a slight bit of credit there.
I give him credit for two things. That, I guess, and when Colony got the hole in one at Bettis' golf tournament, Rudolph was the only Steeler to really celebrate it. And I think on a day where Colony got put in a bind, surrounded by millionaires and had to buy drinks for everyone with a hole in one.
Yep.
Rudolph stepped up and bought his own drinks. So I will praise Rudolph for that. But it is faint praise.
I like memory hold the whole Colony hole in one thing because something else happened that day too.
Yes, Joey Porter wanted to beat you up.
Correct.
Donnie, you missed that.
Yeah.
I bet you wished you were producing on site that day.
Feels like a lifetime ago.
Would you have been like Kevin Costner in The Bodyguard and gotten in between Porter and Mulsey if they came to blows?
Probably not. I probably would have just hoped that somebody else would have been there to do the job.
Yes, because there's so many other willing bodies there to come to Mulsey's defense. If his own producer doesn't
hold on. I'm just saying I didn't want to get beat up by the guy. I mean,
none of us do, but someone's got to stand up for our guy over
here. I could have tried to calm
here.
Down the situation.
Don't let him make you feel bad, Donnie. If I would have taken multiple punches to the face there, Pony certainly wasn't going to get in to intercept any of them with his own dome.
Why? I've gotten punched plenty of times.
Yeah, you know how bad it sucks.
Correct.
So you wouldn't jump in.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.